Dr. Turner is the Rauner Distinguished Service Professor at the Kavanagh Institute for Cosmological Physics at the University of Chicago. His research focuses on the application of modern ideas in elementary particle theory to cosmology and astrophysics. We're delighted to have Dr. Turner with us here tonight, and we thank him for his assistance in making this program possible. So please join me in a warm welcome for Dr. Michael Turner.
I thought it was going to be a little more intimate. I didn't think there were any people who were interested in this topic. Good evening and welcome. Tonight's debate, as many of you know, is not the first debate on string theory. There have been many others, and to say the least, it's a topic that's attracted a lot of public attention. Most of these debates, I think, have generated more heat than light. And there have been strong, I mean, you won't believe this, but there have been some strong statements exchanged, like string theory is a theory of everything, or string theory is a theory of nothing, or string theory is not science, or those who do not embrace string theory will be left behind. And the only good thing about that last one is I don't think they're talking about the rapture. So I'm really pleased to be here tonight, and the three of us, this is going to be a debate, but I think we agree that we want more light than heat. And we particularly want to focus on the exciting science underlying the debate. In fact, I think the high level of interest in this topic has to do with the elephant in the room that often goes unnoticed. And that elephant is the fact that we are on the verge, of a major revolution in our understanding of the universe and the laws that govern it. And that somehow sometimes gets lost, and we're going to make sure that doesn't get lost tonight. This revolution, some of us believe, I think all three of us believe, promises to be as profound and as exciting as the one launched by Einstein and others 100 years ago with quantum theory and relativity theory. And so I think what's underlying this, the elephant in the room, is the stakes are very, very high. String theory has not been bashful about its ambitions. Scientists are skeptics. And they can't really hear this, but I want to add, and have big egos to boot. just a little more background here. Quantum theory has not only transformed the way we live by making the information age possible. I just want to remind you of that. Leon Lederman is fond of saying that 1/3 of the GDP is directly traceable to quantum mechanics. You laugh. The information, everybody agrees on the information age. The devices that generate the information, the devices that manipulate it, the devices that transmit it, all rely on quantum mechanics. And the Secretary of Energy has given me permission to turn off quantum mechanics for 5 minutes. Anyway, it's not only made the information age possible, but it has also enabled us to explore and understand the microscopic world with remarkable clarity and detail. And the culmination of this century-long adventure of probing inner space is, and particle physicists are rarely modest, is this modestly named Standard Model of Particle Physics. And, you know, you want to describe it in one sentence, and I will. It's a remarkable sense. It provides a mathematical description of the particle world from quarks through atoms and molecules, and accounts for essentially all observed physical phenomena. On the other extreme, with general relativity, we have the Standard Hot Big Bang model. It provides a detailed and tested accounting of the universe from a fraction of a second after the bang, when the universe was just a hot, formless soup of particles, to 13.7 billion years later, when the universe is much more interesting. For example, we're here, stars, planets, galaxies, so on and so forth. There is no doubt in my mind that these two standard models are among the great intellectual achievements of the 20th century. And as scientists, what really gets us excited is not what they've done, but they've taken us to the next horizon where we can ask deeper questions about nature, and interestingly enough, discover that there is a crucial link between inner space and outer space. And that's going to be a big theme tonight. That all of a sudden, the frontiers of studying the big and the frontiers of studying the small have merged. And so the stakes are much higher. It comes back to the high stakes for what we're doing here. And the questions we're asking now are, what is the origin of space, time, and the universe? What's the dark matter that we're certain is not atoms that holds together our galaxy and every other galaxy? What's the mysterious new form of energy that has repulsive gravity that's causing the universe to speed up? And by the way, if it's causing it to speed up, what's the destiny going to be? Unifying the forces of nature and the particles of nature into a simpler framework. And last but not least, what we call the mother of all big questions. How are the twin towers of 20th century physics, general relativity and quantum mechanics, to be reconciled with one another? They're known to be inconsistent. So that's the backdrop. Those are the big stakes. And we believe that the answers are within reach. And again, string theory aspires to run the table. So that's what gets everyone's attention. And in debates, it's important to have simple, crisp propositions. String theory, right or wrong. And I think most of you appreciate that nature is far more nuanced. That is that we like to ask simple questions, and nature says, well, it's not really A or B. And so I doubt that even Brian would maintain that string theory as it stands today has the full truth. Nor would I think that his opponent, Lawrence, would argue that string theory has shed no light on these big questions. Before we begin, I want to add my thanks to the co-sponsor of this event tonight, the Office of Science at the Department of Energy. Not only did they help make this evening possible, but more importantly, together with NASA and NSF, they sponsored the research that's gotten us to this point. And they are sponsoring the research that is helping us answer these big questions. And if I could just say a couple words about the Office of Science, they play a special role here. The questions that we're asking require really big, sophisticated tools. In many cases, accelerators. And these accelerators allow us to build the most powerful microscopes, to look down to those scales, to recreate the conditions after the Big Bang. And DOE is exquisite at that. They run the Tevatron at Fermi Lab, which is the most powerful accelerator in the world. Most of you in this audience probably know that starting next year, there'll be a new accelerator. The mantle is going to be handed to CERN, the Large Hadron Collider. Many of you may not know that that accelerator would not be possible without the contributions made by DOE's Office of Science. The scientists played a major role in building that. And the Office of Science sees that we have really big questions here and is already making plans for the first global accelerator, the International Linear Collider. And so thank you, Office of Science, for all that you do. Now we're going to go on to the main event, and I want to introduce, let's see, I said this was going to be different, but I'll still call them the combatants, because we want to have a debate. I think you know them both, and they're great scientists and great communicators, so we're in for a real treat tonight. Brian Green, we'll do it alphabetically, is a professor of physics and of mathematics at Columbia University. He's the co-director of Columbia's Institute for Strings, Cosmology, and Astral Particle Physics. That institute aims to apply superstring theory to cosmological questions, the linking of the big and the small. That's a big part of what we're going to be talking about tonight. Brian received his undergraduate degree from Harvard, and in spite of that, he's a really good scientist. and his doctorate from Oxford, where he was a Rhodes Scholar. I met Brian at the Roman Colosseum. I'm really glad he can't hear this. When he was a graduate student, and I was a young assistant professor, and he was most excited, apparently, about chatting with my girlfriend. but when that passed, he was already, as a graduate student, working on an extremely important problem. He was one of the first adopters of string theory. He was trying to calculate the masses of the elementary particles. So his greatness was already showing when he was a graduate student. He's now widely recognized for a number of groundbreaking discoveries in superstring theory. And he is known to the public and people in this audience through his lectures and writings. And I think we all know, this is a fact that I didn't know, that is stunning, The Elegant Universe, which was his first book, has, where did this say in my notes? I thought it had sold 1 million copies. Now, that's simply amazing, that such a good book. His most recent book, The Fabric of the Cosmos, half a year on the New York Times bestseller list. And the local newspaper here, the Washington Post, called him the single best explainer of abstruse concepts, not pronunciator, but in the world. And so, Brian, can you join us? Now, Brian has a very worthy opponent in the same definite height and weight class. Lawrence Krauss is the Ambrose Swayze Professor of Physics and Director of the Center for Education and Research in Cosmology and Astrophysics at Case Western University. Lawrence received his PhD from MIT in 1982 and then joined the Society of Fellows at Harvard. As it turns out, I was a young assistant professor for a long time, so I met Lawrence when he was a graduate student. And again, he was, well, he didn't try to chat up my girlfriend, but he it was between them and me, you know. He too started to shine as a graduate student. His thesis involved one of the most important problems. In fact, you wouldn't be here unless the problem eventually gets solved, is where did the atoms in the universe come from? Today, he's recognized as one of the leading cosmologists in the world, one of the pioneers of applying particle theory to cosmology. He's the author of 7 popular books, including the international bestseller, The Physics of Star Trek. Gosh, I wish I had written that one. And his newest book is Hiding in the Mirror, The Mysterious Allure of Extra Dimensions from Plato to String Theory and Beyond. Krauss has been described often as a public intellectual. And this last one I want to pause on because it's very serious and he's played a very important role here. He's led the effort by scientists to defend the teaching of real science in the public schools.